On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development Secretary designee Amy Pahacik on the line. She's led the agency since Governor Evers fired Caleb Frostman in September. Evers appointed Pahacik secretary designee in late December, and DWD announced its claims backlog that has dogged its systems for months, that it cleared that up at the end of last year. What frustrations with the state unemployment system have you encountered? Has filing a claim for unemployment gone well for you? Share your story. Ask your questions. 800-642-1234. Secretary Pahacik, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with the waiting period. Wisconsin is losing about $1.5 million every week in federal unemployment money because we have that 1 week waiting period for benefits, and state lawmakers waived the waiting period last year. That's expired. Why can't your department suspend the waiting period itself like it's waived job search requirements last week?
So we are actively exploring what type of authority we have to waive that waiting period, and we're hoping we can come up with some solutions.
Why can't, like, the emergency rule process be used to waive the 1 week waiting period?
So that's exactly what we're exploring, and you're correct, Kate. So back in, 2020, the legislature passed Act 185, which allowed for the temporary waiver of the 1 week waiting period. That was under the CARES Act, and now under the Continued Assistance Act, the federal government is reimbursing 50% of the costs, or what amounts to about $1.5 million a week for the state of Wisconsin if we continue that waiver. So that expired last week. There had been discussion with the legislature of extending that, and we are hoping that we can, through emergency rule, proceed with that. It's unclear what our legal authority is, but we're exploring it at this time.
You launched a systems tracker just recently, in recent days, that shows us where you are in getting out federal dollars through the COVID relief legislation from end of December. What should we understand about this tracker system?
So the tracker that we released last week is sort of a tracker to be able to show our progress for the new federal program. So, Kate, as you're probably aware, under the Continued Assistance Act, there were additional federal programs that Congress had passed, and these include the federal pandemic unemployment compensation, pandemic emergency unemployment compensation, and pandemic unemployment assistance, many programs. And here in Wisconsin, with our 50-year-old mainframe cobalt system, it is very difficult for us to be nimble and flexible and get these programs up and running quickly. So we wanted to be as transparent as possible and show our progress to, all of our constituents, all of the public, as to, where we are with each of these programs, when we expect to launch, and the programs that we've already got up and running, like the federal pandemic unemployment compensation.
In the pandemic unemployment system with assistance with a launch date of April 21st, some of these programs could take nearly 4 months to launch. Why does it take that turnaround time? Why does it take months instead of maybe weeks?
Right. So this goes back to Wisconsin's antiquated benefits system that we've been strapped with since the 1970s. Wisconsin is using a mainframe cobalt system that is about 50 years old. I mean, and it is exactly what you would think. It's a black screen with the green blinky cursor that requires, pressing F5 to navigate the screens. And programming on a cobalt system takes millions of lines of code. There's not many folks left that even know how to do this, given sort of the modern technological advances that are out, with modern technology. And all of the programming has to be done sequentially. So we can only be working on one thing at a time. So one of the big lessons learned from the pandemic last year is Wisconsin really needs to invest in a modern system so that we can be flexible, we can be responsive when there are new programs, and we can avoid some of these extended delays that are associated with such antiquated technology.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about Wisconsin's unemployment system with Amy Pahatchik. She's secretary designee of the State Department of Workforce Development, and we're getting an update on how her department has dealt with the surge of claims with the pandemic's economic fallout. Taking your questions as well about unemployment claims, are you unemployed or seeking benefits from the state? Where are you at? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. Last month, Republicans rejected Governor Evers' call for a special session on unemployment, and one of the governor's proposals would set aside $5.3 million for upgrading DWD technology. How would that money specifically be spent?
So we want to get started immediately on the modernization project. We know we need to do this. We know we need to be responsive to the folks in Wisconsin. That 5.3 included some money to help bring some consultants on board to help write an RFP. You know, with a project this size, we want some technical experts to make sure that we are being good stewards of taxpayer money and make sure that we handle this project correctly. And then that initial rest of the money was around, you know, $500,000 to get the RFP written, and the remainder of that $5.3 million would allow us to enter into a contract to get a vendor on board to start the implementation and the customization of a brand new system, modern, that could be responsive and, you know, help us delay or help us avoid these future delays in benefit administration.
Yeah, I'm wondering what tasks in your agency have you learned through this economic crisis? I mean, what can be effectively and economically outsourced, farmed out, you know, and what is crucial for you to have funding for that has to come from inside, from within DWD?
We've learned a lot since last year, Kate. And so one of the things we learned is that the agency really needs to be flexible and responsive when it comes to staffing. So before the pandemic hit, the unemployment division had about 500 staff members in that whole area. And of course, with the unprecedented amount of claims, and let me just give you a little bit of context with that. Since March of 2020 through last month, there were over 10 million unemployment claims filed. In the 4 years prior, from 2016 to 2019, there were a total of 7.2 million claims. So the department had over 4.5 years worth of work in 10 months. And so one of the things, you know, lessons learned was that we really needed to have a couple of quick levers to pull to staff up. So right now the division is at over 1,900 employees, and that includes new positions, borrowed staff from other agencies, contractors. And, you know, so that is definitely something that we needed, and we're able to get a lot of that funding to do that through the federal government. But the other thing that we, you know, learned is that even with the amount of people power and bringing on new employees and quickly staffing up, including a 500-person call center, without that modern technology and that investment, you know, we really need to be able to have modern systems that can help quickly administer these benefits. And that's the funding that we're looking for, and that's the funding that the governor was looking for through the special session, was just a commitment. It's a large project. It's a multi-year project, just sort of that bipartisan support to be able to make that investment.
We are discussing the status of unemployment assistance in our state, the system, how it works with DWD. Amy Pahatchik is secretary designee of the Department of Workforce Development. Are you unemployed and seeking benefits from the state? Have you tried calling the unemployment benefit hotline call center? How did that go? Have you received conflicting information on your claims? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute. More State Cap here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. New applications for unemployment claims have declined slightly since the start of the year, with just shy of 15,000 people filing for regular unemployment in the latest weekly report for the week ending February 6th. We have Department of Workforce Development Secretary Designee Amy Pachacik on how her department has handled the crush of claims, the calls amid the pandemic. What have you encountered? What tips do you have for others who are trying to navigate the system? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. DWD Secretary Amy Pachacik is with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Grace is joining us from New Glarus this morning. Hi, Grace. Go ahead.
Hello. Well, I'm glad to hear that a lot of the issues have gotten resolved because my husband was laid off back in March, and it took months to get any money at all, and being given wrong information by contractors and having to sit on the phone for hours and hours and hours to get through to anybody. But I've got a real concern. He is almost 70 and has heart issues. He decided not to go back to work when his job asked him to come back, ensured that they were taking all sorts of precautions, but you know, at almost 70 and with a heart condition, basically being forced to either go back to work and then, of course, did not get any more benefits because he refused to go back to work. I have an underlying health condition. I have chronic bronchitis. I have a physical disability. Basically, we were forced to expand our garden, to sell at farmers markets, be around a bunch of people, and I've been forced to go back to go to work, fortunately in a relatively safe environment, although one of my coworkers did come down with COVID. So, what, you know, people in our situation who are elderly, therefore more susceptible, and who have underlying health conditions, which make us even more at risk of contracting severe disease, and no relief whatsoever.
Grace, thank you for sharing. Secretary Pachacik, what would you say to people in these circumstances who are closer around retirement age and are in the situation?
Yeah, it is certainly a concern if employers are not following the precautions that are recommended to keep employers and employees and you know, people coming into their businesses safe. Certainly, you know, the governor has supported, obviously, the mask mandates, and we would recommend everybody follow all the guidelines of the CDC and to keep themselves safe. And hopefully the caller and her husband will be able to get the vaccine soon if they haven't already. But right, I mean, it's a real concern, obviously. And, you know, we can just be hopeful now that with the vaccine rolling out, that more and more individuals will be able to stay safe and hopefully not have to rely on unemployment going forward.
I want to ask about your budget. Governor Evers is set to formally announce his proposed two-year state budget tomorrow. What changes in funding levels do you want lawmakers to approve for your Department of Workforce Development?
Well, certainly we're going to be hopeful for support of a full system modernization. And I'm really just thinking and hoping as well that we're going to see bipartisan support for what I'm, you know, looking forward to for recovery, right? We're hoping that 2021 represents a time of economic kind of bounce back, in that we really want to see, you know, some investment in what's going to be the new post-pandemic sort of job market. Some of the things that have happened, you know, with the stay-at-home orders in the pandemic is that, you know, the pandemic has really underscored existing economic disparities in this state and has impacted certain segments of our workforce more than other segments. We know that people of color, that women with young children, and certain industries such as hospitality and restaurants likely have permanent impacts from what we've seen in the economy the past year. And so we really need to help prepare job seekers in this state to transition to that new job market and that new reality, which includes, you know, more e-commerce, more e-entertainment likely going forward. And really just we think that many businesses are going to be much more open to permanent remote work. And so we need to upskill and train and help our job seekers really be able to fit into this new reality of what employers will be seeking and really connect them to new opportunities.
As you look at the crush of claims coming through, I want to spend a moment here on fraud. International fraud rings have been targeting state unemployment systems around the country with these bogus claims. What is your department doing to stop fraud and still make timely payments for these legitimate claims?
Sure, absolutely. So fraud historically in Wisconsin was only about 1% of all of the claims filed. But you're right, Kate, since the pandemic and the introduction of the new federal programs, many states, not just Wisconsin, had seen an increase in attempted fraudulent activity. And one of the things that we did through our partnership with Google was get some advanced analytics and sort of metrics and screening in place that allowed us to more quickly identify individuals that may be filing fraudulent claims. For instance, Google was able to tell us anybody who was going online and flag claims that were filed from international IP addresses. They were also able to get really cool analytics when it came to claims identifiers, such as maybe 50 different claims under 50 different names all use the same bank account number. So it was sort of those red flags they were able to pull for us. We could send it to our fraud unit, and those screens and scans are instantaneous so that we're not holding up legitimate, eligible folks that are waiting for benefits.
You talk about this partnership with Google. What is this partnership allowing you to do, and will it continue?
Sure. So we had our original partnership with Google was to help us get through that backlog. When I got to DWD back in September, there were just around 100,000 folks that had been waiting for claims over 21 days, which is that standard of which the Department of Labor wants states to be able to respond and make an eligibility determination when somebody first files a claim. So that was quite a lot of folks that were waiting. It represented over 700,000 claims just sitting in the backlog that we just didn't have enough people power to get through. So Google came in, they used advanced analytics, artificial intelligence, and provided us with confidence scores about areas of claims that then we were able to get their data, vet it, and more strategically work through all of those claims. So at the end of the year, we had gotten to pre-pandemic levels, gotten through the backlog. We are now assigning out all claims within 10 to 11 days if there is an issue, which is much better than months and months and months. So we'll continue to keep moving forward. We want that to be, you know, very quickly and instantaneous so we can get through these benefits. But that's what Google helped us originally. They have now come in and we've partnered with them for some additional work. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got a 50-year-old mainframe. It's very difficult. There's a lot of manual processes. And one of the things I was most shocked when I first got to DWD back in September was to hear that if a claimant needed to get us some type of proof of either wages or identity, they had to either mail or fax documentation into the department. That's how antiquated our systems are. So Google right now is in the process of putting a secure document upload system so that folks right from their phone or their laptop can just upload documentation. I mean, this shouldn't be groundbreaking news, but with the technology that we've been stuck with, it kind of is. They're also helping us with secure messaging so that we don't have to schedule phone calls with people to ask them questions or interview. We can actually just use secure messaging right on the portal. And then they're doing some back-end automation. So I talked a lot about those manual processes that we have that require workflow and data entry and just things that add extended amount of time every time we try to process a claim. They're automating some of that for us so that we can continue to be more efficient and hopefully prevent future backlogs.
It sounds like Google has allowed you to work smarter in this process and through the claims process. We're talking about Wisconsin's unemployment system with Amy Pahacik, Secretary Designee of the State Department of Workforce Development. Secretary, a couple weeks ago, Governor Evers vetoed the Republican package of COVID relief proposals. And among other things, the legislation would have required your department to expand the call center hours. And the center would run 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, until claims are processed as fast as they were pre-pandemic. Do you support this idea?
Well, I think we support customer service in the best way possible. I think the proposal was in response to the original issues back after the pandemic started in March, April, and May, when the call center had a severe difficulty accepting calls. This is just because of the avalanche of calls and new claims that came in. Since September, when I've been at the department, we'd added over 500 call center agents consistently, and I get these metrics every single week. Between 80 to 95% of the calls go through immediately, and those folks that go on hold are typically on hold for just a minute or two. So we have really kind of already staffed up to the amount of calls and capacity that we need. The issue with keeping the call center open longer is that our system is so old, it needs to shut down at some point at night and process and do the batch and the payments. And we can't be on the system to help answer calls or questions about claims. So
when it's updating,
our technology really doesn't allow that. So we certainly want to have better customer service, but right now it's just not feasible.
Secretary Pachuk, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Amy Pachuk is Secretary Designee of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, and she's led the agency since September. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with State Representative Gary Tauchin. We talk about a proposal to change our Electoral College votes and how they're awarded. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Representative Gary Tauchin has revived his bill from 2007. It's aimed to change the winner-take-all electoral system in our state. Instead, he wants to have Wisconsin's 10 electoral votes divided up, assigning one vote each for the winner of each of our 8 congressional districts. The 2 remaining votes, they will go to the statewide winner of the popular vote. Do you think this makes sense, or would it create more problems? 800-642-1234. Gary Tauchin is a Republican who has represented parts of Brown, Wapaka, Shawnee, and Outagamie County since being elected in 2006. He's a dairy farmer in Bonduelle. Representative Tauchin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
You've brought back this bill in the Assembly that would change how the Electoral College votes are awarded here. Explain what you're proposing in this.
Sure. I just want to state up front that there is no perfect bill, and this bill is no different. There's pluses and minuses to it. Essentially, what we're looking at with this bill is an alternative distribution of the electoral votes. And this system is called the congressional district method. And it moves away, as you mentioned, it moves away from the winner-take-all method. The congressional district method instead allocates each vote based on congressional districts, and the winner from the congressional district gets that one vote. And the winner of the statewide election is awarded the 2 remaining votes. So there's 8 congressional districts, and depending on how the election goes, the winner of those would take that electoral vote. And then the final 2 would go to whoever wins the popular vote. This system has been in use in Maine since 1972 and Nebraska since 1996. And it would apply to the general presidential election and not apply to partisan primary elections. So it's essentially for the presidential election. And we have a lot of political views and a progressive history in the state of Wisconsin, and this alternative system probably better reflects our diverse political landscape. So I brought this bill forward to look at different options. Of course, any bill that gets through the legislature has a lot of work ahead of it. So this bill is no different, but I think it's got some advantages in that depending on your political views and the areas you're in, the people that live around you are very, very supportive. And I think it would take some of the animosity out if a system like this were in place. And so that's basically the bill.
Representative, you know, critics say your proposal would only amplify the gerrymandering problem in our state, taking it to a national level. It would only worsen our map drawing conundrum and make it more problematic. What do you make of that argument?
Well, as I said, there's pluses and minuses to any bill. I think that this bill, I guess I look at it just the opposite. I think if people believe there are irregularities in the electoral system, I think that it puts up a firewall so that if there are problems or perceived problems, people will feel more comfortable that their vote actually counted in their area. So I think it's one of those things that's controversial. There's no gimmies in this, but it's a system that I think has some potential for our state.
Let's bring in John now, joining us from Appleton. Hi, John, go ahead.
Yeah, the problem with the system is that it takes gerrymandering and extends it from the congressional district level up to the presidential. And since we're going to go through probably a whole bunch of lawsuits and stuff trying to get the districts redrawn with regards to the census, it's just a bad idea. I would have a much better idea. The principle is much, that was not my idea, but and the principle is very simple. One person, one vote. That whoever carries the state, once enough states are won by the electoral college system, then it goes to basically who has the most votes nationally.
John, thank you. Representative Tauchin, you know, what do you make of John's comment there with one person, one vote?
Well, that's essentially the popular vote. So we have the electoral system in this country, and it makes all of us relevant. If you go to the popular vote, you could just have New York, Florida, Texas, and California vote, and the rest of us wouldn't have input. So I'm not fond at all of the popular vote. I think we need to stay with the electoral system in one form or another to be able to make us relevant. So,
well, if you really want proportionality, why don't you propose allocating electoral votes according to the statewide popular vote breakdown? If each candidate wins half the total vote, they get half the electoral votes, et cetera.
Well, there's a lot of different options, and you need to find a legislator that'll move forward with something, because that's the system we have in the state. We have to go through a legislator that believes there's an opportunity to improve the system. That's why we're all here. We're trying to make people's lives better in the state of Wisconsin. And as I said, there's no perfect answer, but I think this has some opportunity, and we'll see if we're able to get support from the other legislators in Madison.
Talking with State Representative Gary Tauchin, a Republican who's represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006. We're looking at his bill that would change how the Electoral College votes in Wisconsin are allocated away from the winner-take-all system. With your thoughts on this at 800-642-1234. George is with us from Monroe. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Hi. How about combining this with in the same bill with nonpartisan redistricting commission and pass them both together? Is that a good idea?
Representative Tauchin, yeah, attaching this to, as George said.
It's It's controversial on both sides, so I think it's a lot easier. It's challenging enough getting one thing through without adding the other. I wouldn't suggest that that would be a good way to move it forward. I think both need to be run independently.
So if Wisconsin had followed the system you're proposing last year in the 2020 election, President Trump would have received 6 of Wisconsin's electoral college votes. Joe Biden would have received 4, even though Biden had more votes overall. In an editorial, the Washington Post says your proposal is aimed at siphoning off electoral votes in a state where Democrats have done well in recent presidential elections. What do you make of that?
Well, we're a purple state, so we usually, whoever wins generally wins with about 20,000 votes. So it's a very tight race. The Democrats the last time the Republicans won was 1984, and then, of course, President Trump. So, but there's a lot of money that's being spent in this state, and that's one of the reasons that people are challenged to be able to move in this direction, because just for the presidential election, there's 100+ million that gets spent in the state of Wisconsin, and passing a bill like this would probably have less presidential visits and vice presidential visits, and cut the funding that comes into the state of Wisconsin. So from that standpoint, it's a negative, but on the positive side, we wouldn't have so many advertisements. So it depends on your point of view from that perspective.
Let's bring in Paul now in Eau Claire. Hi, Paul. What is your take?
I was going to say that I think this is a good idea. We would have the election results before everybody went to bed. They wouldn't be waiting for the final numbers down in Milwaukee or wherever else to see how many votes they need to have to win.
So Paul is saying this would be a more efficient way to get results more quickly, Representative Tauchin.
Right. The areas that have challenges getting the numbers, I think it would be quicker. Also wanted to point out that there is that firewall. If there's a problem in one district that is taking a day to get the results, at least the rest of the electoral areas would be able to have their numbers counted. So I think there's some potential for a positive from that perspective.
I want to ask you a personal question here. You publicly last month said that you do not intend to seek re-election when your term is finished. What is behind that decision? And is there any attachment with that decision to this bill that you're proposing?
No, I've been in the legislature for 14 years. It'll be 16 by the time I hang this up, and I'll be 69 years old. So I think after 16 years, it's somebody else's opportunity. And I wanted to let people know early so that they could prepare, because I spent a couple years in preparation when I ran for office. And we certainly want the best person available to have the position. So I wanted to announce early so that people weren't bothering me about running again. so that they understood this was my last term, and good people could get involved, and hopefully we get a really, really good person to run and represent our area.
We're talking with Representative Gary Tauchin. We've been looking at a bill to reallocate our state's electoral votes. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the financial situation of dairy farmers. Are you a farmer? What do you want the state to do to help address the financial crisis hitting dairy farmers? Is your farm going through bankruptcy? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap. You're on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Representative Gary Tauchin, a Republican from Bondwell and a dairy farmer. Bankruptcies have ripped through our state's dairy industry. The overall number of farm bankruptcies declined in 2020 compared to 2019, but filings are the third highest over the decade, and Western Wisconsin continued to lead the nation, reporting the highest number of new filings last year. Are you a farmer who filed for bankruptcy or had to shut down your farm? Did you sell off acreage? What led to that decision? What should lawmakers know? 800-642-1234. Representative Tauchin is with us for 10 more minutes. You know, you have a personal stake in this as a dairy farmer. What do you see in these bankruptcy numbers from 2020?
Well, on the front end, I just want to say that agriculture is very, very important to the state. It's the number one economic driver in the state of Wisconsin, over $105 billion. So it's important that we shore things up when there are challenges in the industry. And as you mentioned, we have more farms than any other state, especially dairy farms, but that's dropped off considerably in the last few years. We generally have lost about 15% a year through history, but it's been more challenging lately. We had about 6 years of declining incomes, real challenges. So people really worked hard to cut expenses and to try to maintain or get as much revenue as they possibly could. So the industry is very challenged, but it really is important that we make sure that we recognize that cow numbers are very important too. There's been a lot of growth in our industry, which started in 1993. And we're able to weather the storm on a statewide basis because of the cow numbers. Each cow is worth about $36,000 in economic activity. Hmm. And we've been able to maintain between 1.3 million cows in the state out of the 9.3 million that we have in the country. So we're number two to California, but we have many small and medium-sized farms along with large farms, which it bodes well for the state of Wisconsin. That diversity is a good thing, and it helps shore up our rural communities with economic activity in those areas. So we're going to continue to be challenged. 2020 would have been a year that agriculture did exceptionally well. With the farm support program that the governor had and the PPP on the federal level, there were a lot of farms that were able to weather the storm. That was very, very helpful. But others are restructuring in order to be able to survive. So I think this is different than the last set of bankruptcies we had 2 years ago. So it's not going to be easy. We're going to have some work to do, and hopefully we'll get some policy decisions that are helpful to the farming community.
What policies do you want to see pushed through here as lawmakers look at what we need to do to help farmers?
Right. So under the Walker administration, and it was finalized under the Evers administration, the Dairy Task Force 2 worked to develop a lot of different recommendations on legislation that we needed to push through. And quite a few of the legislators came through with pieces of legislation which would have been implemented had not COVID-19 hit. Unfortunately, we were able to get a lot of bills through the assembly, but then COVID hit, and before the Senate could take it up, and they adjourned. So a lot of those bills that were in the proposals last session because of that have been well vetted already, and I'm expecting that the governor is going to implement those or many of those I'm expecting, too, that in the Assembly and the Senate, we're going to be moving forward with some of the policy issues like labeling bills that were out there, dairy, milk, and meat. So if it doesn't have a good fit in the budget, I'm expecting that we're going to move forward on the, with policy bills in the respective agricultural committees in the legislature.
If you're just joining us, we're talking proposed legislation. We're talking policymaking with State Representative Gary Tauchin, who's a Republican, represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006, taking your questions as well about policymaking in dairy, in COVID, 800-642-1234. Representative Tauchin, earlier this month, you and other Republicans voted to overturn Governor Evers' emergency order on the pandemic, which required people to wear masks in indoor spaces. Why do you oppose the mask mandate?
I don't. It's the governor's overreach that I oppose. After 60 days of emergency, calling an emergency declaration, he's supposed to come to the legislature and work with us to develop the next phase. And he doesn't do that. He just moves forward, ignoring both the courts and the legislature. So that's the part I oppose, and that's the reason I voted to end that overreach. The masks, I think, are one of the tools that people have for protecting themselves. I think social distancing, people staying home when they're sick, I think is very important, and washing hands. So it's all common sense things, but I don't know why the governor didn't include all of those things if he was just going to include the mask mandate. So there are issues that need to be dealt with, and hopefully the governor gets the point and starts working with the legislature, because that's part of the process. Otherwise, the people don't have a say.
Yeah, you know, the partisan rancor among the chambers and the Evers administration is causing people to wonder what is going on. Can you tell us anything about the prospects of finding common ground on a COVID relief bill?
Well, we tried to move it forward, and the governor vetoed a bill. He was supportive of some things and not of others. So there's going to be legislation moving forward that's going to piecemeal it. And I think it's important for people to be able to go to church, get people back to school. This isolation is having a tremendous impact on people's mental health. And there's just so many areas that we feel strongly should be included in that. So the governor's either gonna pass those bills or veto them, and we'll find out how he stands on each individual one.
Representative Tauchin, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's much appreciated.
State Representative Gary Tauchin is a Republican, has represented a central Wisconsin district since 2006. He's a dairy farmer in Bonduelle. Just ahead, we have a tax analyst with tips on how to file your returns this year. What questions do you have about the pandemic and how they may have complicated your tax situation? Share your specific questions on tax season, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.